This is Megan and Stacey, and we're back with our bi-monthly, bi-weekly What We're Cooking and Eating Now episodes. Huzzah! These episodes are meant to be bite-sized digests of what we're cooking and eating at home.
Quick side note, I do think that bi-monthly and bi-weekly mean the same thing, and I find that very confusing. I actually do, but anyway, maybe a listener can jump in and let us know. But in these What We're Cooking and Eating Now episodes, we share 6 meal ideas with you that you can turn into your own meal plan for next week. We share links to specific recipes that we mention in our free community space, where you can get even more dinner ideas in our weekly meal plan thread, where everybody chimes in and says what they're doing. I have to admit that I have just ripped people off some weeks when I haven't had time to plan myself.
Oh, I fully have, where I'm like, I cherry pick. Yep. I'm like, oh, that sounds totally good from that person. That sounds good from that person. So if that's not already enough, we have, this is little tease, a new plan, a new meal planning little tool inspo thing coming to our supporting community so soon. So check out both the free discussion board to get this week's links. They're pinned at the top. And then more details about our supporting membership at didn'tijustfeedyou.com/community. All right, Billis.
I am.
You're up first. Tell us what you've been cooking this week. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I can go first
if you're not.
Okay. So I think I mentioned this in the episode about getting cooking mojo back, that there are certain dishes that I make that everybody just loves unequivocally, and you make them and you're like, oh yeah, everybody's like, this is so delicious, and that inspires you. Picadillo is one of those dishes in my house, and I usually make it like Cuban style, mostly with beef, but sometimes with ground turkey. I've made it actually a couple of times since we've last had one of these episodes, but it definitely was something I made last
okay
week. I used a new, I can't believe this never occurred to me before, but I didn't feel like chopping olives the night that I made it. And I had olive tapenade in my fridge. And I was like, I'm just going to use a scoop of this instead. And it was great. Like, it lent that olive flavor. I mean, you know, it plays out a little bit differently because tapenade, the olives are way more finely chopped. So the olive flavor is more spread throughout, as opposed to getting a bite with like a briny punch, you know, the way like a caper or a chopped olive works. But it totally worked. Everybody loved it. It cut down on the prep. I actually think that I might have used pre-chopped onions and those Dorot frozen garlic.
We love it. This is like shortcut heavy.
I basically did very little prep because I wanted to make collard greens, and that took more time to like clean and prep those. So it worked great. Like, everybody loved it. There was no issue. And me and Mike and Isaac love maduros, sweet plantains. Oliver doesn't like them so much. So I also made rice in the rice cooker, but I bought frozen maduros, which I've never done before. I usually buy them, let them ripen, and then put them in the air fryer, which also, by the way, is super easy. But I went to a market that had like a huge variety of cut frozen sweet plantains, and I just pulled them out of the freezer, popped them into the air fryer, and they were great.
Okay, I have 2 follow-up questions. One, you mentioned that sometimes you do beef, which is like very traditional, or you've done turkey in the past. What do you do this week?
Beef.
Okay, and then the maduros, is that you went to like a specialty market for that?
I didn't. But I don't know, you know, this market has a lot of Latin foods.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's just the neighborhood. And so like, who frequents the supermarket in New York City? Sometimes you go to some neighborhoods and the selection is really catered to the population.
I think that's true in a lot of major cities, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to find more Chinese cuisine in certain neighborhoods. And
totally. So yes. It was the supermarket that I walk to next to the Starbucks that I go to every once in a while. It's like a little, it's like, you know, 2 blocks, 3 blocks further than the one I normally go to. But there it was.
I mean, that sounds so good. And it's actually on my to make list. I don't know. if you were online very much during the week of our break, where I ask people for quick weeknight dinner ideas using ground beef.
Yeah, and then
I proceeded to make Aaron McDowell's fry bread tacos instead, which is like a whole thing involving resting dough and frying dough.
Yep.
When we could have just had tacos or like taco bowls or something.
Hilarious.
But so many people were like, you have to make this. And so it's on my to make list too. Do you have a particular recipe that you recommend if people are not doing like all the shortcut things? And can you share that?
Okay. I will share a link to Skinny Taste has a beef picadillo that I've done before. But at this point, I make it so much. It's really, really simple. I just take onions and garlic and I throw it in there. Then a little tomato paste, cumin, salt, then the beef. And then I kind of like taste and go. Sometimes I've put in chopped tomatoes. I don't usually, you know, garlic powder, onion powder, depends how I feel. If you have any like sazon, you can add that. I mean, it's really just a taste and go. Sometimes I add green bell pepper or red bell pepper. If I have it and it's chopped, you can get frozen bell pepper and onions chopped. So that's really easy if you want the shortcut. But I think that the most important thing is the onions and the garlic and then tasting as you go. Sometimes I'll throw a bay leaf if I have some time and it's going to cook for a little while. It's very forgiving. To me, the real thing that makes it picadillo that I love so much is that chopped olive and that olive taste. I think tapenade worked for me because that olive taste was really distributed throughout. And when I use chopped olives, usually the green kind that are stuffed with pimento peppers, I'll also add some brine because I want that olive flavor everywhere. So if you're going to chop the olives or follow a recipe that calls for that, add a little bit, taste as you go and add a little bit of the brine that might give you that little extra something you know, that it's looking for. But it's just so easy. This is a great one to taste as you go because the ground beef cooks so quickly and early in the process that the rest of it is just really about bringing the flavors together and making adjustments. Some people will put like chopped potato in their picadillo. You can do that. I don't usually do that, but.
Yeah, if you do the potato in there, then do you feel like it still needs the rice or what are other ways to serve it? Because I've never actually cooked it at home. And so I don't know.
Yeah. So that's the question. I don't do the potato because I do like rice with my picadillo. But I think that, you know, the way that I've seen potato and picadillo, it's diced really, really small.
Okay.
They're like tiny little squares. So you could still serve it with rice. To me, that feels overkill, but I don't know why. It just feels like extra work. And I already got a starch and I got a beef. And like, that's what my kids want. And it's not like the starch of the potato is so like satisfying as your starch. Because
it's not like equal potato and beef at this point. Yeah,
exactly. Raisins, I personally skip because
we already know how I feel about raisins.
I don't want raisins in my beef. Thank you. But that is an approach. But it's just so easy. Like you can make rice ahead of time or use frozen rice or put rice in the rice cooker. The beef picadillo, again, you can let the flavors come together and let it sit on the stove for 30 minutes. Or you can kind of serve it once you get everything in there, you know, and the beef is cooked, which takes all of 10 minutes, 7 minutes, and then cook it an extra 5 to bring it together. It can be really quick. I love serving greens with it. Collards take a little bit more time and effort. I also love Maduros with it. But air frying my sweet plantains, I don't know why I didn't do that sooner. I experimented with sweet plantains in the oven, which works really, really well too. The whole thing, like you put the whole peel and everything in the oven, and then you open it after it's roasted and slice it up. But it's so easy in the air fryer. The only problem is I got a complaint. Guess who did the complaining? Isaac.
Oh, I was going to say, was it a cleanup complaint? But go ahead.
No, it was a complaint about, Isaac said that when I put the Maduros, the sweet plantains, the super ripe plantains into the air fryer, they don't come out with that, like, you know, when they're slicked with grease, like you can tell they've been in a deep fryer, you get all that sweetness, but you also get like oily yumminess. He misses that when they're in the air fryer. But the frozen ones, when you put them in the air fryer, have that. Because they've already fried them and we're just using the air fryer to reheat them. So he really loved the frozen ones actually better.
Okay, well, I feel that's part of why I was asking where you found them, because I'm like, ooh, we would love that. And so now I want to start looking in the freezer section and see if I can find them to stock our freezer. Okay, what else have you cooked this week or fed your family this week?
Okay, I'm trying to...
Your face there's right one, now.
Because there's one that I will save to the end. There's something I made that I did not like.
I have one of those I want to talk about too. Okay.
Okay, so I'm not going to make it one of my three. I want to be a little more helpful. I made a swordfish dish from New York Times Cooking that was fantastic. And it was fantastic because it was delicious. It was also a great technique that I want to explain because it was so fast and easy and felt so elevated. I will admit that my kids did not love it, but they just don't love fish.
Right.
But they did eat it. So I'm also going to say, you know, we don't get too hung up on this, but I know a lot of you guys are feeding littles. Swordfish is considered something that's higher in mercury. So some people recommend that you don't eat swordfish more than once a month. If that concerns you, just know that. My kids like swordfish because it has that meaty texture. Mm-hmm. So the recipe is basically called something like, I'll put the link in our document in our community. It's called like herb marinated swordfish or something. But basically, you just tap the swordfish dry, season it with salt and pepper on both sides, and then cook it. Literally a little tiny drizzle of olive oil in a pan, 5 minutes on each side, you're done. That's it. Set it aside. Your swordfish is now cooked. Then you take a bunch of olive oil. I think it was like 3/4 cup or something along those lines. Put it in the pan, you put on the heat, you add the capers, and you cook them until they kind of pop. You're basically frying capers, right? But you have a lot of oil. Then once they start to pop, they've released their flavor, they're crunchy, it's a beautiful thing. You turn off the heat and you take a whole bunch of herbs that you've chopped while the fish was cooking and you put it in the hot oil along with some lemon juice, but the heat is off, and you let it sit for 5 minutes to come together. Then you pour that over the swordfish.
Yum.
And let that sit for 10 minutes. That's it. Literally. So while the swordfish was sitting and marinating, I like pretty much cleaned up, straightened up, poured myself a glass of wine, and like dinner was done. I had made a double batch of rice from the Picadillo.
Smart.
So we had rice, that swordfish that really came together so fast, and then a big delicious salad with like shredded, I had pre-shredded Brussels sprouts and pre-shredded cabbage in the fridge already. And I mixed that with some cranberries and some pre-washed spinach. I think that might have even been it. Maybe some other veggies, and just tossed it with a vinaigrette that I had made. It was such a quick and easy meal. And it was one of those meals that feels, you know, you feel like you make something kind of fancy at home and you're like, yes. This is great. Like,
this is really a vibe.
This is a vibe. Happy with myself. It was that.
That's a good cookie mojo recipe. Also, feels like fresh and light, but like in a way that's still comforting when we're like still squarely in the middle of winter.
Yeah, because swordfish is hearty, literally. Yeah. And if you didn't want to eat it with rice, it'd be great with just garlic bread. Like, you could do some homemade garlic bread or get garlic bread from the freezer.
It doesn't even have to be garlic bread, or could it just be toasted so that you can use up all that oil?
Mm. Yes.
Yes.
Because dragging it through that herby olive oil, so good.
So good. Okay. I feel we might need like a little tagline or something funny for do not recommend recipes. You know, like in the book world, it's like do not finish, did not finish.
Yes. Or
what's ours going to be like, will not make again.
Yeah.
Do not recommend. What is the one, like, you don't have to expound on it, but what's the thing that you made that you did not like?
Well, I'm going to give you the one that I did, but I won't talk about it. I made a version of chicken stroganoff.
Okay.
And actually, I kind of just like made it up as I went, but there are recipes around. I had chicken tenders left in the fridge, and I was just like wanting something like really creamy and delicious. I actually didn't have cream, but I had a little bit of sour cream that I pulled out and I mixed with milk, but it wasn't quite enough. And then I had coconut yogurt, plain coconut yogurt. I was like, this is a real iffy situation. But I added that too. And I basically made a cream out of sour cream, a little bit of coconut yogurt and milk.
Stacey.
And added it. It came out so delicious.
Okay.
So delicious. This is not what I didn't want to cook. So okay. Chicken stroganoff. It was just like with egg noodles. It was great. And broccoli, plain steamed broccoli. That's the good one. The bad one that I'm just going to say, it's a recipe by a food writer I love and absolutely trust still, even after this. It's her recipe on the New York Times for I can never say it quite right. It's a Greek word. So then I put more pressure on myself to say it right. And then I get embarrassed. Yuvarlakia.
Okay. I don't know what that exactly is. Right.
They're Greek style meatballs.
Okay.
That are usually made with rice inside. Hers were a chicken version. So that immediately I was like, I think but of them also, as you're being the chicken more queen beef or lamb. Right.
So then your expectations are also raised. You're like, okay, like, it's on
nobody
now.
Nobody in my family liked it.
Oh no. Like no one finished dinner, or they just complained.
No, everybody and said, finished, but like it had like a weird bitter taste. I was like, it almost made me wonder if I used the Duroc garlic, which a lot of prepped garlic will let you down. Like a lot of prepped garlic, like has a funny flavor, right?
It like, can be a little bit bitter because they just like hammer it to get it chopped all. And correct. Then it's like sits in the containers, even that if it's in the freezer.
It's like almost pickles.
Yeah.
Right. But the Duroc has never let me down. It's had good flavor. It's minced. It's fresh and then frozen. But it did call for a lot of garlic. And I wonder if the fact that I used the Duroc garlic.
Sometimes it's a volume thing, right? Like, if you're using one of those little cubes or two, it's not a big deal. But then when you start to get above that and you really need that garlic punch, you're also getting more of the like bitter, briny bits too.
It was not good. And I think because chicken, we were using ground chicken instead of beef or lamb or a combo, that garlic bitterness really stood out. And then I was like, even if this didn't have the bitterness and it was just real garlic and I'd spent the time, I think it called for a lot of cloves of garlic, like maybe five or something. I was like, would I really like this? I'd be like, it's just like garlic chicken balls. I don't know. It was just not for me. You know, I have a frame of reference that I'm like, yuvarlakia means something to me.
Yeah.
So like that could have been the issue on top of it. But not
also
my fave.
the kids and Mike, they don't have that same point of reference of it being like important to them. And they also didn't like it.
Like Oliver didn't even eat his full dinner. Oliver eats kind of everything and like meatballs and chicken. He'd be like, okay.
Right.
But like, no.
I'm thinking of like the number of times they've made you made for testing the chicken ragu from Winner Winner Chicken Dinner. Mm-hmm. Like every iteration that they were just like so happy to eat up. And then these chicken meatballs. What a letdown. Stacey, I don't know about you, but I've been in a major spring cleaning mode, including purging and organizing my closet. I'm putting away winter sweaters and donating things that don't work for me anymore. But I'm so excited to be pulling out some of my favorite items from Quince to put back into rotation.
Totally. I love the pieces that I bought from Quince last year, too. And neither of us should really be surprised. We love Quince for their quality. And by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
Which means I can actually add some pieces back to my closet after my spring clear out. I love the linen pants and top I got last season so much, but my next purchase is one of Quince's gorgeous 100% washable silk skirts.
Oh, that's so pretty. And the best part? All Quince items from silk to 14 karat gold are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That's why I snagged my favorite oversized cashmere boyfriend cardigan from Quince instead of any other brand.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/DIJFY for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You, to get free shipping and 365 day returns. We know you're seeing all the Mother's Day gift guides everywhere. And while we usually do some Didn't I Just Feed You version, this year we have the one perfect Mother's Day gift that works for everyone. Even our last minute shoppers, mylifeinabook.com.
MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns the life stories of people you love into a beautiful book. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send your gift recipient a question via email. These can be pre-written questions that they provide, or you can customize the questions the way that I did for my mom. Your recipient can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book.
I'm really excited to be creating a book with my own mom this year, and I can't wait to hear some of her childhood memories, what it was really like raising three kids as a single mother, and how she's enjoyed becoming a grandmother, too.
And when the book is done, you'll have a beautiful keepsake for her and for you, too. You can even choose to have an audiobook created from the recordings. It's easy to sign up, and the process is automated, so you don't have to worry about missing a week.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code DIJFY at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code DIJFY for 10% off today. This episode of Didn't I Just Feed You is sponsored by By Heart. Longtime listeners know that Stacy and I both struggled with infant feeding stages with all our kids. Breastfeeding was hard, and choosing a formula was, well, also hard. We're thrilled to be working with By Heart, an infant nutrition company on a mission to make the best formula in the world. Not only is By Heart an easy-to-digest formula, their formula is also clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit-up, and softer poops versus leading infant formula. By Heart has their own patented protein blend that includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, just like an early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. Curious about By Heart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code DIJFY for a limited time. That's byheart.com/podcast and code DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You? Additional terms and conditions apply.
What about you? What did you...
Okay. I will just segue here because I think there's something to take away, which is that even though we're professionals, both from like a cooking standpoint, from a recipe development standpoint, sometimes we're both just like drawn in by a great headline or a great photo. And we're like, this is going to be great. And then it's not.
Oh my God.
Okay. This is something I made over the break, but I've been like dying to talk to you about it.
Tell me.
It is this cauliflower, potato, and white bean soup. It's also a New York Times cooking recipe. I made the mistake of not reading the reviews before I got into it.
Oh.
And I was tricked by the photo, which was like gorgeous bowl of soup.
I've seen it. I feel like I wanted to make it.
With potato chips on top.
Yes. I've totally seen this, Megan.
And like
yes.
lots of chives. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to serve potato chip soup to my kids. And it's going to be like the thing. Like everyone's going to love it. It was so, oh, it's a slow cooker recipe too. So I was like, great. It's going to perfume the house all day. And we're like all going to be excited to eat it. And it was so pretty in the slow cooker that I like took a picture because it's like the cauliflower and the potatoes and onions and there's like fresh herbs. And I was like, this is so gorgeous. And even after it cooked, I was like, this is really pretty. And then I blended it one because you're supposed to. And it instantly went from like this beautiful pot of soup to like, if I was being generous, I would say baby food looking thing, but almost like baby poop.
Oh my god.
And I was like, okay, I committed to this. Like the potato chips is gonna fix it. I'm gonna do like a little sour cream.
Did it not have enough liquid?
It was just all, it was so many things. Like I think it needed a lot more seasoning, like more salt, but also more garlic powder, onion powder, some acidity. There may have been some white wine or some white wine vinegar at the end. I think I ended up adding a capful of champagne vinegar. But even with like crunchy, salty potato chips on top, it was a no.
Did anybody eat it?
No. It was like one of those nights where everyone basically ate garlic bread for dinner. Oh even my God, I was like, I don't think there's enough sour cream and chives to like to save this ever work. Soup. And then this is dumb. We sat in the fridge for so long. We're like, well, I'll eat the leftovers. I'll eat the leftovers.
And then they never
did get eaten. And so it ended up in the compost, which is very gross.
I'm so glad you shared this, though, because they have been pushing that. That's been on the homepage of the app for a long time. I even almost got pulled in recently.
Don't do it. And then they shared it on Instagram in one night, late night, when I should have been sleeping. I read through the comments where people were just hammering it, like how bland it was, how much it looked like baby food, tasted like baby food. I was like, this is just a myth from New York Times cooking too. Like, it wasn't like I followed some TikToker who I don't even know. I went to like a reliable recipe resource and was so burned.
Okay. So I do have to just say, I think this is a good moment to pause because it's true. I see both sides of it. Like, I want people to hear that reliable sources can be can have misses. First of all, there's a lot that can go wrong. There's so much complication. The recipe development work is complicated work. And also the thirst for more and more and more recipes makes it so that the volume of recipes that any major publication has to pump out is really, like, in some cases, I think, untenable. But also, we make mistakes. Something tastes good to you one time and you test it one other time and it's fine, you know, and then you put it out into the world. And then maybe you test it a third time once it's been published and you're like, oh shit, like something is off here or I could make it better. Like, that's just the reality. Nobody in any profession puts out their best work 100% of the time. But for us as recipe developers, once someone makes your recipe once, and they have a shitty experience, you feel really bad that like your work isn't perfect 100% of the time. It's really, really hard. So I want people to have compassion. And I also want people to have compassion for themselves that if you've made a recipe and it's come out like shit, you know, there's a lot of stuff that could also be the recipe's fault. Like, it's not always your
fault. Sometimes it's not you. Yeah.
Sometimes it's not you.
I was very validated by the comments on the Instagram photo because I was like, oh, wait, it wasn't just me. Because sometimes you have that experience and you're like, am I a terrible cook? Because like this should all on paper, this should taste delicious. And it doesn't. Like, did I do something wrong?
Even the Yuvarlakya, you know, if you were someone who didn't think about food on the level that I think about food and you use shortcut garlic, which is completely valid, you'd be like, oh, this is a terrible recipe or I messed something up. And actually, like, it could be as simple as I used this frozen garlic versus fresh garlic. And the recipe wasn't tested with shortcut garlic. That can make a difference. And just knowing that, like, yeah, in volume, using shortcut garlic can actually, like, change the flavor of a dish. So, you know, it's just these kinds of things.
It is. It's these little things. Okay, but we promised... three recipes that were good. And actually, what we ate this week, I made the quick chicken noodle soup it's called quick chicken soup from Winner Chicken Dinner. Yep. But then you have the option to like add rice or orzo or noodles. We did the super thin egg noodles and it was very good. I served them with garlic parmesan popovers. That recipe is from Damn Delicious because I am back on my bullshit with the popovers.
Love that pairing.
Right? The popovers cook in the time it takes to make the soup, basically. And I love how flexible that soup is. And I know, okay, so I'm trying to be quick here, but I just want to say chicken noodle soup is one of those things that's like so easy for me to riff on. But I think that for Ella, especially, who loves chicken noodle soup, the fact that it's like never exactly the same like it would be from the can when I make it at home is a little bit of a letdown. So I like now feeling like I have the recipe to go back
big
to.
Capricorn energy.
Big Cap energy.
Because, you know, I have a story in my first cookbook about meat sauce because Isaac was like, you never make my comfort food. I was like, I make meat sauce all the time.
He's like, it's not the same.
It's different. Yeah, because I riff.
Yes. So that was a big hit for the whole family. Popovers right. even yes. too. Because it's been a minute since Perfect. We made popovers for the family.
Perfect.
And you pairing. Do need a special pan for popovers to get them really tall, but you can make them in a muffin pan and they cook really quickly and they're yummy and crunchy and like extra protein if that's a concern for you.
So to make popovers, just let's be explicit here and let's be helpful. To make popovers in a muffin pan, you just want to check on them before the full baking time is up.
Yes, because there'll be a smaller volume. And you should preheat right. the muffin pan just like you do the popover pan.
Right.
Usually I just stick mine in while the oven's heating. And then by the time the batter's mixed up and the oven's preheated, the pan's hot enough. And that helps with the oven spring and them getting right. tall.
Little less batter in the muffin tin than in the popover tin?
Yeah, a little less.
Just a little.
I think right. my, well, because I was going to say, I think my popover pan has 9 wells versus mm-hmm. 12 of a muffin pan. And so it works yep. out pretty perfectly. Perfect. Ella requested enchiladas because she had them at a friend's Ooh. House. And she said they were beef. So I used the beef enchilada recipe from Gimme Some Oven. And it was very delightful. 10-10 will make again. And Ooh, I served yes. that with just like a quick corn salad. Like I thawed frozen corn while I was prepping the enchiladas and then mixed it with like some cherry tomatoes and then like a little mayo, some cotija cheese that we had left over, some spices. And that was a win for everybody too.
Delicious. So what, just literally ground beef seasoned stuffed yeah. inside tortillas with cheese.
She also adds a can of pinto beans, which I thought was really great and made like a lot more filling and more enchiladas than I think would have otherwise with just like 1 pound of ground beef. And then I didn't like, you know, you could make enchilada sauce, but I just used the can and
right.
very,
Does the
very
recipe
easy.
Have a homemade enchilada sauce or does it call for a can?
No, she totally uses canned
yeah,
enchiladas.
That's what yeah. I would think too.
Okay. Yes. Okay. And then also one thing that's nice about enchiladas is like they're very basic just out of the oven. You know, like you said, it's an onion, ground beef. There's some seasoning, the beans that goes in. And then the enchilada sauce is pretty mild and there's cheese. So like even a lot of picky eaters would enjoy that base. But then you can top it with like more fresh onion and cilantro yeah. and crema and like lots of lime juice. And it makes it more exciting for someone like me who's like a more adventurous eater or who likes Ooh, flavor.
I love enchiladas. Do you do the proper process of dipping the tortillas in the enchilada sauce before you roll up the filling?
I did not this time. Just because I was trying to make it as quick for weeknight. So just pour a little bit of enchilada yep. sauce in the bottom, roll them, and then more on top. And then I did kind of like spoon over the edges because sometimes they get dry and crispy
yeah.
if you don't do that. So that worked well for cool. the weeknight. Okay. And then the other thing that I made that I... It's me again. I don't remember how long ago it was that I was like, I made this tofu sandwich from New York Times Cooking and it was so much work. I got sucked yes. in this time by Instagram because my friend Grace Elkis, who used to write for The Kitchen, made a recipe for tofu nuggets on Simply Recipes and they shared the recipe. And I was like, oh God, I have to try this because my family loves crispy tofu. It is so labor intensive. You have to like... tear up the tofu. Then you have to like freeze the tofu and like make a marinade. And then there's like basically a standard breading procedure to fry them. But they were really good. And my family really enjoyed them. And so now I'm like, did I ruin just regular basic ass crispy tofu for my family? And I'm going to have to make these every time.
Megan, okay. I have a solution. I think because I literally just yesterday got taken in by Justine Snacks on TikTok, mm-hmm. who we also mentioned in our Mojo episode, just said, I do this every year, you guys. I need to show you because I love crispy nuggets, tofu nuggets. And she did a really simple version. She barely even pressed the tofu. She tapped it dry. She cut it into triangles. You can tear it all the same. You get a little bit more of that like McDonald's vibe. But then she made a breading. I know it had nutritional yeast. It had some other stuff. You could yes. riff on it. I don't think you have to make it as maybe her point is vegan. I actually don't know much about her
POV
dietary point
yeah.
of view. I've just found her recipes and like them. So she uses the slight dampness of the tofu since you didn't fully press it and pat it so dry to get the breading to stick on it. and then literally popped it in the air fryer. Or no, maybe she did a pan. I don't remember, but it looked easy and I bookmarked it. Justine snacks, tofu nuggets.
Like, I want you to share the recipe with us, but then I feel like then I'm just going to be down this weird crispy tofu rabbit hole.
I want to be down a crispy tofu rabbit hole with you.
Where usually I just like tear up the tofu and like toss it with some cornstarch and season it with whatever goes with the, you know, sometimes soy sauce, sometimes red pepper, sometimes garlic and onion powder, and then just like pan fry it. And that is satisfactory enough to my family. So I don't know why I'm on this weird,
you
like,
did it.
I'm going to go
you opened
marinate. Yeah.
I just want to say that while we were on break in our subscriber community, so that means if you're either a power listener member or a super fan member, those two membership tiers get you access to bonus episodes. And in January, we published a bonus episode all about our favorite ways to cook tofu. So if this tofu conversation's making you hot, you should go back and listen to that. Okay, what did you serve the tofu nuggets with?
Oh, well, we just did our regular like rice bowl dinner. So I made a pot of rice. I chopped up a bunch of veggies like cucumbers and grated some carrots and chopped up an avocado. There was frozen edamame. Great meal. I definitely feel like they're seasoned enough to have that like chicken nugget vibe. And I could have done like that and fries and been like, oh, it's a fast food night or like whatever, a freezer food night. But
that's
they were
what
very labored.
Snacks does.
Yeah.
She does it with like a sauce. Like it's a dippy sauce. It's like chicken nugs.
Oh yeah. Or be good. They'd be good like tossed with some hot honey or like some buffalo and
yum. I'm so hungry.
Put on a bread roll.
We have a homemade Chick-fil-A sauce recipe. That would be good. In our recipe archive. That would be good. Yep.
So let's get Stacy fed. You can get the recipe links by visiting our free community. If you haven't joined us there yet, why not? Join for free at didn'tijustfeedyou.com/community. Or if you want bonus episodes and other goodies, join our supporting community.
You can also follow us on Instagram where we are @didn'tijustfeedyou and keep in touch by signing up for our newsletter. A huge thank you to our producer, Samantha Gatzik. I'm Stacy.
And I'm Megan. Stay sane and well-fed, friends.